Well, today is Trinity Sunday, and it is one of those few times in the church year that we celebrate a doctrine rather than an event or a saint or even a real feast. And since even the word doctrine is rather passé, we may wonder if the concept of the Trinity is dead. Not dead in the sense of not being true, but more in the sense of Paul Tillich, who talks about dead symbols, a symbol that no longer communicates the revelation it once bore. The church probably has a few once lively terms that turned into things being professed rather than living parts of the Christian story that we confess because they have the capacity to affect us, to make a difference in our lives. Perhaps Trinity no longer touches us or holds meaning for us in a tangible way. So it isn't, as Jesus says in the gospel today, that we can't understand it. It's just simply that it's not even relevant. Sometimes I feel that way after the 10:15 service. While you're all listening to the prelude in here, I'm usually on the front steps at this time of year catching a breath of fresh air. Now, you need to appreciate that I am still wearing all of this when I am standing on the front steps. And I feel like a doctrine that's a bit passé. Because people are walking by, going to brunch or after coffee, thinking about what they're going to be buying or looking at the tulips, and they hear this wonderful music coming out the front doors of the church. And so they naturally look at the doors and they see this. And they probably think, what is that? How odd. And in this day and age, it's even stranger still for people to realize, oh, and that's a woman in there under all that stuff. It's a doctrine. It's a thing that may not feel that relevant to some people, like an outdated curiosity right there in front of them. Doesn't mean we should give up wearing vestments or believing in doctrines or our sometimes ponderous ways of making decisions in the church. It does mean that we cannot assume that people get the connection between the fancy dress or the doctrine and everyday life. Our task this day and this age is to make that connection for people, to make it alive once again so that Trinity isn't just something that we celebrate and hear and then forget about. In the book God for Us, Catherine Mowry Lacuna says, the Trinity is ultimately a practical doctrine with radical consequences for the Christian life. It is a specifically Christian way of speaking about God and what it means to participate in the life of God through Jesus Christ in the Spirit. Radical doctrine with radical consequences. Who would have thought? It's usually pegged as an incomprehensible concept that theologians spend a lot of time debating in dusty university rooms. It's one of those Sundays when one should get their associate to preach, when other good people want other people to preach. No one wants to preach ever on the Trinity. It's one of those things you study in seminary that you just know isn't going to help when the practical matters like plugged toilets or waning parish finances happen. But the Trinity is about relationship, which is entirely relevant to all our lives. A relationship that's collaborative and communicative and mutual. It's about a God who creates, who shows us the way, and who walks with us. The Trinity is our way of life made possible by God. Now, being about relationship can make the Trinity seem rather mundane and potentially catalytic at the same time. Mundane because we all have relationships. After all, we're all in relationships. We're even in one right now. You may be sitting, listening, or dreaming about something else, and I'm speaking, but we're still relating. We're in the same vicinity. Once we accept as mystery the central and confusing element of the Trinity, how can God be three persons in relationship and yet one God? That is what we need to talk about God as being in relationship all at once and individually. That's not so ho-hum. God is in relationship, like we're in relationship. But what is the big deal? Well, the big deal is that God is in a relationship that we are not. Or better, God is in the relationship in which we are intended to be in relationship and are invited to be right this moment. Because the relationship between the three people in the Trinity is not a relationship of equals, but it's also a relationship of complete and free interdependence. That can all get really confusing if you try and think about it too much, so don't hurt your head. But think about the number three, as in the three people of the Trinity. It's not significant in any hidden mystical qualities, but some of us like the number three. I am the third child. I always had number three on my basketball sweater. And for some reason, I like the number three. But think about when you have a pair of anything, and you add a third to it. Parents know about this all too well. The third child is not just more than two. It's a whole new equation. I just finished reading a book called The Lost Girls, three young women in their late 20s who decided to take a year and travel the world together. Three professional, highly educated, smart women. And the best part about the book is how it talks about how they work out that relationship of three. We've all experienced it. Maybe you were in university and shared a roommate with somebody and then a third person came along. Maybe you've had a child, maybe you're the third child, and that's a different thing than being the second or the first. It really knocks us about. Two can play on a seesaw, but the third demands a whole new kind of game. Our world is really binary. We think all the time in terms of pairs. Pairs that go together and define each other, or pairs that go against each other. Just everything we learn is about contrasting pairs, up and down, yes and no, hot and cold, circle and square. But we didn't learn it like that. We learned it in our relationship with each other. Ask anyone who's been part of a significant relationship that's ended. Single, not married, can be a huge adjustment. It's the opposite of being adding on. It's about taking away. And it's okay for learning contrast, but how about when we want to be together? When we want to be unified? And that's what the Trinity speaks to us about. That we can understand them all at once, separately, and in and about each other. God invites us to show how we are in relationship with one another here in this church and in the world and in our own individual lives. God indeed is a God who invites us in creation to be who we are, who shows us how to live, and who walks with us on the journey. I think about an example for that. And some of you were here last year, a year ago next weekend, when we were in here worshiping away, as we do on a Sunday morning, our binary relationship, us and God. We were professing the faith. We were here in our creative space, where we are and what the space that we create. And then something happened in that. We realized in that we were actually walking the way together. We were learning what to be. We were learning to be disciples of God, because we break bread, we sing songs, we gather, we share the peace, we forgive one another. Those are things that teach us how to be, as Jesus taught us. And then usually we have coffee and we leave. But last year on race weekend, something else happened. People looking like me, I think it was Bruce in his choir robe, all of a sudden realized that we here were part of what was happening out there. Some of us were standing on the steps cheering the runners at race weekend as they went by. And that was great. And then our hands were getting tired and we realized we could ring a bell. Oh, we have a bell. We have a large bell. And so Bruce, in his slightly outdated, rather doctrinal robe, went and grabbed the bell and started ringing it. Now, imagine if you had no church connection whatsoever and you were in a half marathon and you looked up and saw people like me and people like Bruce and people like you who had been in here learning about how to be like Jesus all of a sudden out there. You may recall, if you were there, that the street erupted into applause. People yelled and cheered us for ringing the bell as the races started. It was an amazing moment. And I never realized until today, it was a moment of incarnational Trinity. God, who's created us on this corner, and us as we learn to walk in the way of Jesus, and the Spirit, where we were walking with other people on their journey. It's a powerful image. It takes us from things that we thought before, like I can't come to church because I can't park, to imagine what it's like to share in that for other people. A long time afterwards, someone came to me and said, one of my friends, he lives in Toronto, and contacted me and said, you go to that church. Not a religious person. And she said, well, I do go to church in Ottawa. Yes, you go to that church, the one that rang the bell when we raced. If that is not the Spirit, I don't know what it is. If that is not the Spirit of Trinity, I have no idea how else to explain it. We are people who gather to worship a living God because we have the experience of something bigger. Bigger than we can ask or imagine at work in our lives. May we in how we relate be mutual and communicative and collaborative. And let us be inspired. Let us live lives that illustrate the Trinity of love and example and inspiration. A God who creates, who shows us the way, who walks with us. Creator, Son, and Spirit. Now that is not just a doctrine, that's a way of life. Amen.